Pop woke up at 3 the next morning, bathed with sweat, and peering fearfully into the dark. The clocks had just begun another weary run at the hour. It was not this sound which had awakened him, although it could have done, since he was not upstairs in his bed, but down below, in the shop itself. The Emporium Galorium was a cave of darkness, crowded with hulking shadows created by the street lamp outside, which managed to send just enough light through the dirty plate-glass windows to create the unpleasant feeling of things hiding beyond the borders of vision. It wasn't the clocks that woke him. It was the flash. He was horrified to find himself standing in his pajamas beside his work table with the Polaroid Sun 660 in his hands. The special drawer was open. He was aware that, although he had taken only a single picture, his finger had been pushing the button which triggered the shutter again and again and again. He would have taken a great many more than the one that protruded from the slot at the bottom of the camera, but for the simple good luck, there had been only a single picture left in the film pack currently in the camera. Pop started to lower his arms. He had been holding the camera pointed toward the front of the shop. The viewfinder, with its minute hairline crack, held up to one open, sleeping eye. And when he got them down as far as his ribcage, they began to tremble, and the muscles holding the hinges of his elbows just seemed to give way. His arms fell, his fingers opened, and the camera tumbled back into the special drawer with a clatter. The picture he had taken slipped from the slot and fluttered. It struck one edge of the open drawer, teetered first one way as if it would follow the camera in, and then the other. It fell on the floor.
Heart attack, Pop thought incoherently. I'm going to have a goddamn Christ in heart attack.
He tried to raise his right arm, wanting to massage the left side of his chest with the hand on the end of it, but the arm wouldn't come. The hand on the end of it dangled, as limp as a dead man at the end of a hang rope. The world wavered in and out of focus. The sound of the clocks, the tardy ones were just finishing up, faded away to distant echoes. The pain in his chest diminished. The light seemed to come back a little, and he realized all he was doing was trying to faint. He made to sit down in the wheeled chair behind the work table, and the business of lowering himself into the seat, like the business of lowering the camera, began all right. But before he had gotten even halfway down, those hinges, the ones that strapped his thighs and calves together by way of his knees, also gave way, and he didn't so much sit in the chair as cave into it. It rolled a foot backward, struck a crate filled with old Life and Look magazines, and stopped. Pop put his head down, the way you were supposed to do when you felt lightheaded, and time passed. He had no idea at all, then or later, how much. He might even have gone back to sleep for a little while, but when he raised his head, he was more or less all right again. There was a steady, dull throbbing at his temples and behind his forehead, probably because he had stuffed his goddamn noodle with blood, hanging it over so long that way. But he found he could stand up and he knew what he had to do. When the thing had gotten hold of him so badly it could make him walk in his sleep, then make him, his mind tried to revolt at that verb, that make, but he wouldn't let it. Take pictures with it. That was enough. He had no idea what the goddamn thing was. But one thing was clear. You couldn't compromise with it.
Time to do what you should have let the boy do in the first place.
Yes, but not tonight. He was exhausted, drenched with sweat and shivering. He thought he would have his work cut out for him just climbing the stairs to his apartment again, let alone swinging that sledge. He supposed he could do the job in here, simply pick it out of the drawer and dash it against the floor again and again, but there was a deeper truth, and he'd better own up to it. He couldn't have any more truck with that camera tonight. The morning would be time enough, and the camera couldn't do any damage between now and then, could it? There was no film in it. Pop shut the drawer and locked it. Then he got up slowly, looking more like a man pushing 80 than 70, and tottered slowly to the stairs. He climbed them one at a time, resting on each, clinging to the banister, which was none too solid itself, with one hand, while he held his heavy bunch of keys on their steel ring in the other. At last he made the top. With the door shut behind him, He seemed to feel a little stronger. He went back into his bedroom and got into bed, unaware, as always, of the strong yellow smell of sweat and old man that puffed up when he lay down. He changed the sheets on the first of every month and called it good. "I won't sleep now," he thought, and then,
"Yes, you will. You will because you can. And you can because tomorrow morning you're going to take the sledge and pound that fucking thing to pieces and there's an end to it."
This thought and sleep came simultaneously, and Pop slept without dreaming, almost without moving, all the rest of that night. When he woke, he was astonished to hear the clocks downstairs seeming to chime an extra stroke, all of them, 8 instead of 7. It wasn't until he looked at the light falling across the floor and wall in a slightly slanted oblong that he realized it really was 8. He had overslept for the first time in 10 years. Then he remembered the night before. Now, in daylight, the whole episode seemed less weird. Had he nearly fainted? Or was that maybe just a natural sort of weakness that came to a sleepwalker when he was unexpectedly wakened? But of course, that was it, wasn't it? A little bright morning sunshine wasn't going to change that central fact. He had walked in his sleep. He had taken at least one picture, and would have taken a whole slew of them if there had been more film in the pack. He got up, got dressed, and went downstairs, meaning to see the thing in pieces before he even had his morning's coffee.